It's Thursday, July 24th, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games, and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to Episode 72, Beating Up Wizards for Lunch Money. Runtime for this episode is 53 minutes. Hello, and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast without a transformation sequence. I'm Tyranno Ranger Jeremy.
I don't have a witty comeback to that. I'm Tyler.
You can be pretty Guardian Sailor, Tyler.
Oh, God.
I'd do it.
I know you would, and that's why I'm scared. I'm Zach, and I finally won a game.
Our LCS Fantasy.
I finally beat somebody.
Was it me?
It was Jeremy.
You're 5-1.
Yeah, you're winning still.
Yeah. No, someone defeated you, but I think it was me, actually.
Yeah.
Wasn't it your bot who's in second?
It also might be my evil robot who's in second.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
second.
It was...
pace to cream this week, but...
Much League WoW.
Yeah, that's my
League
evil
WoW
robot.
Much Legends.
Who's in second? I'm in third, three, and Zach is 1-4.
No, hey, I'm 1-5. Oh. I'm the opposite of him.
Oh, I must be. Yeah, you're right. And I'm 2-4. Ah, math. Who cares? Henshin!
A go-go, baby.
Yeah. Okay, so we played Final Fantasy II, which is a lot of stuff. But first, what else did you play, Tyler?
Some other stuff. Mostly, I beat Rogue Legacy the first time through.
Hey, yay!
Congratulations.
I haven't started.
I should play some of that.
It's pretty good. I haven't started New Game Plus yet, but I intend to eventually. I thought I had played a lot more of that game than I had, but it ended up only being 16 hours. So
I'm like halfway to that as it is, and I'm nowhere near beating even the third boss.
I kind of beat the last three in like a big glomp. Including the final boss, so I guess the Maya, the Darkness, and the final boss I beat, like, all at once, so.
Yay for getting powerful enough to beat all of your enemies.
Indeed. But mostly I've been playing Payday 2.
Oh.
Which is kind of a first-person shooter. The way I described it to Ed, and this is mostly the way we were playing because we suck, it's mostly that I suck and kept walking into guards on accident.
Sounds like you.
Yeah, who can immediately notice that you're a criminal if you accidentally bump into them in a hallway.
I thought also if, like, you have your mask on. I do know that the criminal detection is pretty... They're freaking Zenigata.
I'll get to that in a moment. But I described it as playing... It's kind of like a crime-flavored, like, horde survival mode. But that's only because we suck and kept getting noticed by the guards and had to go into survival mode, which is you have to complete the objective before all the hordes of cops... That just keep coming at you with poor equipment.
Well, yeah, haven't you ever played GTA? That's how it happens.
Yeah. Definitely.
Eventually Batman shows up.
Also, these are ludicrously well-equipped criminals. Like, all of them start with an assault rifle. I don't know where they picked them up, but anyway.
Guns for drugs.
The way the game's supposed to work, if you suck less, well, I guess you can be the enforcer, and that's actually how you play the game. But generally, the idea is you and everyone else on your team, like, go and find all the guards and all the security cameras, and then come up with a plan to take all of them out simultaneously, keep the crowd under control while you do whatever the objective is, and then get out of there without the cops ever showing up. And my favorite missions are the ones that are entirely stealth-based. I also went the stealth tech tree thing.
Yeah.
So. But the problem... neither of us were terribly skilled at the game when we were trying to do a lot of the more complex ones, so we kept getting spotted. But the game works by you go around casing the joint in plain clothes first.
Yeah, and then you put on your crime mask.
Yeah, then at any point you can hold G, and after about 2 seconds you put on your mask, and you can customize your mask or whatever. It doesn't really matter because you never see it, everyone else does. But once you put on your mask, people notice you a lot more. If civilians... Cops notice you more easily, and if civilians notice you, they start freaking out. You can tell everyone to get on the floor, you can take a couple hostages, but if you don't pay attention to everyone and babysit them constantly, eventually one of them pulls out their cell phone and calls the cops on you, so...
Just Bill Clinton and the Joker hanging out. How could that go wrong?
It sounds very interesting. This is a game I really want to play as a team.
Oh, it is...
Activity, but I don't own it.
It's absolutely necessary to play as a team. Well, I say that some of the... Earlier missions you can do solo, especially with the stealth tech tree. It's pretty not horrible. There's an AI, but they do nothing for you unless you're in combat. So they help you shoot things, but if you're like actively trying to steal stuff or being stealthy, they just like sit on a corner and go, "Yeah, that's cool, man. I'm still on my cigarette break. I'll get back."
And they don't reactivate your drill after it goes malfunctioning for the fifth time.
No.
And you're like, why are the batteries in this drill so bad?
What's even better is after you fix it for like the third time, your guy starts saying, "This drill is a piece of shit."
I agree.
But I got through one that was you break into a secure compound and then open sea crates stealthily, and then I got jumped twice by guards on accident. I was like sitting there stealing stuff out of the crates, and I turned around, I'm like, oh, when did you get there? Just pop him in the head and toss him in a body bag, toss him in the crate. I'm like, okay, no one's here. The game got much easier after I could afford a silencer. So, which works like a Hollywood silencer as opposed to a real life silencer, meaning it makes basically no noise.
Sweet. Does it make a sweet laser sound?
No, it kind of goes, but it's definitely a fun game. I'm not sure. The multiplayer is definitely where it's at. I'm not sure how much single player I can bear to play, but you kind of have to if you don't have other people you know online, because like working with strangers I feel would be a horrible idea, and you need money to buy better equipment, and it's a game that gets easier to do the earlier stuff as you go on.
Yeah.
You essentially level up. I also played a lot of Rocksmith, but that's basically Guitar Hero, and everyone's done that, so.
Guitar Hero, but it sort of teaches you guitar.
Yeah, my fingering is a lot better, and this is not the porn cast, so.
Good job, Pretty Guardian.
In the name of the moon, I will pass this off to Zach.
What have you been playing, Zach?
I played some Rogue Legacy. I'm nowhere near as far as Tyler. I did manage to beat the second boss.
Awesome.
Though that was mainly because I was a fully statted out lich with the fire shield. So I basically just face tanked him.
The, I guess, revised form of the second boss was easily the hardest boss in the game.
I haven't found the obol to encounter, to go back in there yet, and I haven't even beaten the first boss's revised form again, or ever.
They're both pretty hard.
Well, part of that is just, like I said, I beat the second boss by turning on my fire shield and just tanking most of the hits because I had so much health and mana.
I think I Hokage'd him to death, but...
Lich is my favorite class so far.
It is. It's between Lich and Hokage for me. The Lich is probably more fun, but...
Well, Lich is like, I'm just never gonna die. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to replenish all my health and mana.
You don't necessarily replenish health. You just get more maximum health, and eventually you do reach a cap.
Well, as you are reaching more health, it actually gives you that health that goes into your maximum pool.
Yeah, but once you get to your cap, you don't get any more.
No, which is why you can switch it for your mana if you're the Great Lich.
Your mana has a cap too. So eventually you can get capped on both.
I was capped on both when I went and fought the second boss.
Yeah, which is always the strategy, is go farm as Lich and then go fight the boss. Or explore more, but...
Find sweet treasures, and then bring them back to your sweet treasure manor to buy, like, windows that give you more health.
Yep. I did get the dragon class unlocked, but I don't really like it.
It's really good for the final boss, but that's about the only use I found for it.
It just plays so differently than the rest of it, and it doesn't translate well, I don't feel.
I agree. I think pressing A to awesome was a misinformative descriptor of that class.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. I like it. I like the idea. I just don't like how it plays.
Is B for badass?
No.
And X for extreme?
No, A and X both fly.
Ah.
And B is for ball of fire.
Mm-hmm. And then I've been playing a lot of League. On the week so far, I'm 5-1.
Yay!
Which is
pretty good.
Really amazing. I had a game which I was playing support that I ended up with 10 kills.
Seems legit.
It was not a very good game. And then Monday, because...
Oh, yeah, we played League of Legends on Monday with Cody, and we won 2 games against real people.
Oh, wow.
And 2 games against robots.
Well, how many did you lose against...
0.
Oh, wow.
To robots or real people.
Well, the first game was very, very... We were doing very poorly for a good chunk of it, but Jeremy, who wasn't playing super well in the jungle, stepped up and basically said, all right, I'm leading this, and shot called us to victory.
I farmed the Megazord, and the giant captain wheel came out.
But... I thought one of the funnier parts was, at one point I realized I had 5 kills, 6 deaths, because the enemy kept jumping on me, and I complained about it to Cody and Jeremy, and then didn't die again.
Well, clearly, that's...
You gotta step it up, baby.
Well, I just started playing a lot safer than I had been. I was a little bit too aggressive in positioning, so people were able to jump on me.
This is completely random, but I think it came up with a sequel to CarPG.
Oh?
CarPG 2, Carmageddon.
I think I made that game, too. I know CarPG, too. I don't remember what the subtitle was.
But it had a subtitle, right?
Yeah, so, duh.
Okay. That was necessary. Okay, anyway.
I had a couple of very good games this week, but I haven't played as much as
previous
I want.
Weeks.
Well, actually, I've been playing about the same amount. I mean, I haven't done any more ranked games. These were all normals. So, I had a lot of fun on Braum, which is the guy I got 10 kills with. That was just a bad game in general for my team. Like, no one did well. I had a top laner in that game who was an early game champion. He was playing Xin Zhao, for anybody who knows what that guy is.
but he tends to be more early game. He got completely dumpstered 0-8 against the guy who's a late game champion on Jax.
Awesome.
Which is kind of terrifying when you're when you have to play him.
Jax with 8 kills is GG.
We held out for a long time because their engages were pretty terrible, and Jax would jump in. He's like, I'm going to get you. And Braum, no. Fear the mustache. You are stunned. My team has killed you.
Yeah, Braum is the best support ever. He's a big Russian dude with a mustache and a shield. You can't stop that.
He's Captain Russia?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
He has an unbreakable door for his shield. But he is the support I wanted. The support that I was really hoping existed when I first started playing League. The tank support that basically absorbs hits for the other team members.
One of his ability is jump between nearest ally and nearest enemy. And one of his abilities is use a giant shield so all the bullets hit me.
So can you like soak people's alts that way?
Yes.
That's amazing.
It's pretty good. It's not quite as good as Yasuo, who just makes a wall of wind, who just dissipates them. But yeah, it's pretty good.
Braum's
like giant
around.
Tidal waves comes at him and he just has a shield. And so the tidal wave stops.
Yeah. Braum's is a little weaker, but he can move it and reposition it while it's up.
Yeah.
Plus, it gives him a speed boost and a defensive boost.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty good.
Yeah, I really like it.
There's a reason he's banned every game ever. Anything else, Zach?
I don't think so. I have the LTOVG Gridiron Fantasy League created. I will have a post probably way before this podcast release is on the site for anybody who wants to join in on that. There are 8 slots in the league right now, minus any forever.
For those of you who don't know, Gridiron is like video games in real life.
That's just one of my favorite petty arcades.
Except with fewer fireballs.
I think football is a game.
I remember that one.
Although, actually, I prefer the one that's like, you got any big plans this weekend? Play some videos. Oh, wait, no, the game. The big game. The biggest of games. If we don't scrimmage enough yards, we might not win, and that would be bad. I heard the refs were paid off by gays, Republicans, gay Republicans. Who do we hate?
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's it. If you're interested, the link will be in there somewhere or another.
Well, I've been playing League WoW Much Legends and The Assignment, basically. And watching some stuff. I got caught up in Adventure Time, and I watched the first episode of Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon Crystal.
Oh, that's
the reboot, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Her eyes are so big. I mean, I know it's old hat to call anime eyes big, but her face is 90% eyes.
I'm not super thrilled with the art style on this one.
I think Chris Sims said it's the worst of the 4 versions of the first episode of Sailor Moon, which still makes it 90% better than most things. But it's not as good as the live-action version, which has Sailor V as a pop idol who has to fight Tuxedo Mask because he's robbing the jewelry convention and because they had to pay the actor to be in the episode anyway. It's great.
Jewelry convention.
Yeah, it's a jewelry sale in the anime manga and reboot anime. But you had to make it bigger for the live action, so it's a convention.
What would that even do? Like a bunch of jewelers get together and go, okay, guys, we're going to put all of our jewelry in completely flimsy display cases and then try to hawk it to people at a convention center.
Well, yeah.
To be fair, they do that with guns.
Why wouldn't you do that with guns? I mean, obviously.
There's a Tuxedo Mask comes to rob them, and Sailor V kicks him, and there's a plot going on with Sailor Moon, but no one cares because Sailor V is the best. She has a video game. Does Sailor Moon have a video game in her own universe? No.
Did you see that link I posted a couple episodes ago?
Yeah, the Sailor V versus the cheap Green Ranger. That was pretty great. But no, Sailor V has a video game in the Sailor Moon universe that Artemis made to train her to be Sailor V because she didn't want to train, but she liked games. And she's so good at it that a guy at the arcade accuses her of cross-dressing and really being a boy and feels her up to prove it. So she kicks him so hard that Artemis is like, yeah, we should probably run before you're wanted for assault or murder. Sailor Moon ever do that? No, she cried and the villain thought it was ultrasonic waves and was defeated.
Also ate ice cream. Ate ice cream.
Yes, and toast while she was running. And her hobbies are taking the easy way out and going to bed early.
She's the one called Sailor Moon.
That's why it should just be Sailor V, like it was before Sailor Moon. Everything would be better. Also, she's in the opening scene. She's not 90% eyes. She looks reasonable and well-designed.
And then the actual show starts and...
Well, no, Sailor V and Sailor Mercury look good. Mars, Jupiter, and Moon, though, so much eye. Like, looking at you, like, if your entire glasses were eyes and also your eyebrows, that's how much eye there is.
I mean, have you ever been to Japan? That's canon.
Well, and also, she needs, like, some waist. She's got super long arms and legs and looks like an awkward teenager. Which, to be fair, she's 14.
And she is an awkward teenager.
But,
I mean,
anyway, this is enough about Sailor Moon. Let's move on to the...
the one called Sailor Moon. Did you ever play... okay, well...
okay.
So, speaking of Sailor Moon and also RPGs, did you ever play the Sailor Moon RPG?
No, I played the Dragon Ball Z one.
Yeah, it's actually remarkably passable. But it features turn-based combat, like some other game.
Like Final Fantasy?
No. No, not that. Yes, Final Fantasy.
So we played Final Fantasy 2/4.
Distinct from Final Fantasy 24.
Man, the Final Fantasies don't have subtitles. I feel like they should.
They really should.
They
don't
really
all the,
do
the Dragon Warriors have subtitles?
No.
No? Okay. Breath of Fire has subtitles.
They would lend themselves really well to it, I think.
No, we could have Final Fantasy VI, the one with mechs.
And Final Fantasy VII, the one everybody knows of.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII, Big Sword.
I was going
to... Final Fantasy VIII, Go to School, Noob. Final Fantasy IX, I don't know, Rat.
Also some cards. I never actually played 9.
It's not very good.
Yeah. Well, I also, I don't think 8 is very good, and everyone else seems to think it's great. So.
Spoonie hates it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I know Spoonie hates it. He's like the
I'm
one person who validates my opinion.
I don't think any Final Fantasies are very good.
10 is so good. And you played so much Blitzball. And you played, how did you finish 10-2 and not 10? How is this?
I don't remember where 10-2 didn't have an awesome minigame like Blitzball.
It did. It
had the LeBlanc massage minigame.
I don't remember that. I think 10-2 or 10 vanished. Like, I don't know exactly where my copy of 10
Fair
is.
Enough.
And
I've got like three
I
of them.
I was really bored at one point when I picked up 10-2.
I played 10-2 more than I played 10, but I've never actually finished it.
Yeah, 10-2 is... it's rough. At least Aaron comes back that one time for 5 minutes. And one of the faction leaders is the voice of Superman from Justice League.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I did not make that correlation. But you know what game doesn't have voice acting?
Or a subtext. Or subtext. A subtitle.
I would argue it doesn't even have subtext.
Or a subtitle. Final Fantasy 2/4.
Which could have been titled Final Fantasy Quest for the Goddamn Crystals.
Yeah, well, there are some goddamn crystals.
they made that later. Isn't that the Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles?
No, there are actually surprisingly few crystals in Crystal Chronicles. Also, Final Fantasy V was the exact same plot as 4. Although that one has a pirate, so crystals and pirates could be 5.
Final Fantasy 2/4 starts with you as the leader of the Air Force, which some sweet airships, going to Wizard Town to beat up all the wizards
and
take
their
sweet
crystal. My God.
You're the playground bully.
Essentially.
Yeah, well, you're beating up the nerds for their lunch money.
I would also like to point out really quickly, it totally looks like you kill all the mages there. You don't. They're in the dungeon later, which is sad.
Yeah.
To be fair, it does say you killed some of them when you go back there.
Ah. Well, the three I thought you killed specifically are totally alive.
Yeah.
They go with the flashing blinky and then they disappear?
Yeah.
There are definitely some in your prison. So then you fly back and there are monsters and you like watch a fight and it's a turn-based fight and like, oh man, there sure are a lot of monsters out these days, eh?
And you totally use abilities that you don't actually have.
Yeah, you're like, lightning magics.
And you're like, that would
to
be...
to me, Mundiala Boomerang!
No, you just see,
the way
you forget.
The way Alex justified it is that those were actually the ship's cannons firing
yeah,
at
I
the
Yeah, I thought
deck.
About that too, so yay for hand-wavy explanations.
Alternatively, you're on a magic airship.
Yeah,
magic.
You are. Or is it a tech airship? Sid seems very techy.
That is true.
Anyway, so you get back and you're like, yo, King, I don't know about this beating up the nerds for their crystal money thing.
And the
I
King's
think we
like,
maybe bullying people.
Well, and the other guy whose name is like Bygon or something is like, yo, King, Cecil's out of line. We got to smack his ass. And the King's like, oh, no, call him in.
Yeah. And he's like, you ain't no Air Force commander anymore. Take my package to Professor Oak.
And then your sweet dragoon friend comes in. And he's like, wait, no, he's not that bad. You shouldn't fire him. And he's like, well, that's what you get for speaking out. You go with him.
You go with him and you're fired, too.
And then it gives you a recap of what just happened.
Which is on
like in a Star Wars like text crawl. It's like da 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 da.
It's in case you weren't paying attention to the
four Air Force kicked out package Kane.
It's very pretty, and it's obviously the only point where they had ability to write in actual English as opposed to the awkwardly translated from Japanese and then fit into a certain number of characters.
That may be true, but I don't understand the point of it. Considering,
yeah, no, it's
you just if it was
you just experience exactly everything.
If it was a cutscene in which you could skip it, or you could
fast forward
through them, or you know, if they were automatically scrolling text boxes up to that point, I could understand that. But since you have to actively hit the button to go through them, there's no reason to recap it there.
Anyway,
well, no, I'm not done yet. Oh. I want to tear this up some more. Also, there's a rule in stories. You show, you don't tell, right?
Yeah,
because
of course.
You want, and this shows you a whole bunch of stuff. But in games, you need to have the player do, not shown. And you don't do anything for like half an hour. And then when that half an hour is over, it tells you what you just saw again. It's like Chris Claremont in X-Men, where he's writing all this stuff that's happening on panel. But you can see Wolverine cutting dudes up. Because it's a visual medium.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to do that. Video games are very active.
Well, thing. And then the first real control you get over the game is a random battle. So,
yeah, and the random battles, all you can do in them is attack. Because Cecil and Kane are...
have no magic.
Hey, yeah. Kane can jump.
Yes, which is just attacking, but with a cooler animation.
And it does more damage.
Yeah, at, like, no cost. I'm also not a fan of the active time battle. I think it's pointless.
Although this one, you can't even tell when you're going to move.
Yeah.
It's actually...
Is it active?
Yeah, actions give you bigger cooldown, and some actions take longer to do. So, like, when you get Rydia and she can summon better monsters, it actually takes her longer to summon more powerful monsters, and then her cooldown is ridiculous afterwards.
More importantly, it doesn't pause when you have a choice. Enemies continue to fill up their action bars.
You can change that in the menu.
No, you can't. Not in this one, because I looked.
Can you not?
No.
Oh, well,
that's introduced in later Final Fantasy games because it makes sense. By the time of 6/3, they had that. This is the first game with Final Fantasy's active time battle, and I think it's pointless and stupid and should go with the wizards to be beat up for lunch money.
It's one of those weird places between real-time and turn-based, and you get the worst of both.
Yeah, I agree. So,
speaking of the horrible intro, actually it wasn't a horrible intro, but speaking of the long-winded intro, I remember this game very fondly. It was one of the first games I ever emulated and one of the first JRPGs I ever played. And my God,
and
did
you're
I have...
still a fan of the genre?
Yeah, well, okay. I played Chrono Trigger right after that, and that's a much better game.
Yes.
And I played that one recently. There's a reason I apparently haven't played this game recently, because, oh man, the dialogue is so awkward. Like, people respond to things that in ways that no human would ever speak.
And a lot of times it feels like they all know something they haven't told you, and it's not like they're trying to hide it from you for a reveal. It's like they have psychically absorbed it from each other's heads and forgot to tell you, the audience, what's going on. Like, is Edward sick? Is he terminally ill? Or is he just scared of his... I don't know. It seems like he's terminally ill somehow, but no one ever brings this up.
I can't remember what it was in response to, but there was one point where there's like 6 boxes of text where they're discussing stuff, which is all awkwardly phrased anyway, and then someone like makes a statement or like asks a question, and someone goes, it's true. And that isn't
yeah.
even... Which, in addition to being... not actual proper grammar, doesn't even make sense as a response to what the person just said. There's stuff like this everywhere.
It also kind of has that same problem in the fact that text bubbles like this, especially with the sprites like this, they aren't very interesting to have cutscenes happen, even if they aren't full-fledged cutscenes.
I feel like they could be if the writing was better, but
so,
it's not.
So let's talk about two things here. Once, if you press any button, it advances the dialogue box, which I hate because I always spin my hand around the D-pad while text boxes are going
press
to have something to do with my
plus.
Hand.
I never do that.
Well, because we have like, not ADD, what's the thing? We have to move, man.
Hyperactive.
Yeah, we're both hyperactive douchebags that keep bouncing our knees on the podcast, ensuring there will be sound noises for me to edit out later.
Am I the only one that doesn't move on the podcast?
I mean, you are right
still.
Now, but...
I just started a second ago.
Anyway, back to, you know, you get the combat. Like I said, they're both fighters. Your only choice is...
Fight.
Or item. Going
Which you
back...
don't need, because now you're... These are like level 2 and 3. You're level 12.
Compared to the first Final Fantasy, which is 3 iterations ago, you start the game by choosing your party. You have, you know, 6 different classes that you can choose from. You get 4 members. Then you get a budget of $500 that you have to spread between equipment for your fighter dudes and spells for your wizardy dudes. You choose what you can do going in, and that makes combat so much more interactive because you're dealing with this choice you've made, and you can feel the advancement as you're going on because you get gold for beating the enemies, and you can go back and get... if it's not going so well, better weapons or more spells. And this, you just have these 2 fighter bros, and they're also way over-leveled for the fight. Actually does a good job of making Cecil seem like he's some sort of veteran, but that means the combat is boring because you just attack things and they die.
And it's not even like an interesting attack. It's just waggle the sword at midair and they take damage.
Although one of the criticisms we leveled at the original Final Fantasy, and I feel like it's possible to do that style of character selection and still tell a good story, is that it felt like the story suffered because the characters weren't...
I do agree, but they could have given you more interesting characters than 2 fighter bros. Especially since, spoiler, Kane's not sticking around much.
Until he isn't.
My point is he could have been able to do anything here, and that would be more interesting then.
Well, I mean, he could have, like, had an option to either attack or fire a giant dragon laser because he's a dragoon. I mean, come on. Some variation. Or summon a dragon? Summon a dragon would
be awesome.
The Japanese
version, Cecil has an attack that attacks all enemies but takes health from him.
Yeah.
And they took it out because it was terrible.
They put that in Final Fantasy X,
too. But it's at least variety.
Eh, combat's just super boring up to that point. I don't think it gets much better, but that's me.
And visually, this game doesn't look 16-bit to me. It's definitely better than the 8-bit Final Fantasy, but not by that much. I can see the NES running this, even though I don't think it can. It doesn't look like, you know, it looks like Sega can do it, this can't.
I actually have to agree with that. Alex was commenting on how good it looked. I'm like, really? Because this looks like crap to me, especially after having played Final Fantasy VI recently, which is the same console and looks so much better.
Yeah.
And I think it's only like 3 years apart.
And visually speaking, I went back and played some Final Fantasies to see if this was real or my perceptions. The monsters, you can really never tell what they're doing. That's actually sort of true in Final Fantasy as well. But I also feel like your actions don't really visually show up very well. Cecil just sort of swings a sword around. The casters just kind of put their hands together and lights show up. Whereas in Final Fantasy, you get them walking up and you get an effect. And it's very clear who's doing what. That said, Final Fantasy, like we talked about then, takes forever to process your actions.
They definitely did that better in this one.
But this one, it feels like everything is feels boring to me. Even when we get to the cool stuff later on.
Like Tella.
So it's a difference in immersive nature of combat, because now when you just attack, they attack air in front of them. Like Cecil just waves his sword around. If you have the casters attack because you don't want to burn mana, they just waggle their staff at the air. It's like chastising an unruly schoolchild rather than actually attacking something.
And Final Fantasy had that too, but they had like step up dramatically and it looked a lot better.
So
and the graphics were just, they weren't better. The art wasn't as good. But they were so much more clear about what was going on.
Well, I mean, I've played JRPGs made in the last 5 years that still don't actually have the characters move up and attack the
Dragon Warrior is still, you don't even see the party. You just see them slashing the guys in front of them.
Which is honestly a really boring perspective. That was, I found out that that was the default combat style in RPG Maker way back in the day.
It is.
I'm like, nope, screw that.
Time to make my own.
Yep.
Time to do a whole bunch of coding that's unnecessary, and basically I could just be doing this in Java and it wouldn't be any more work, but...
Yeah, well, I didn't know actual programming languages back then.
Yeah.
I was such a programming noob.
So the advantage we get of these boring combat characters is they can have interesting personalities and goals
theoretically,
and a story.
theoretically, they could have these things.
Kane is really, really boring.
To be fair, you didn't get to the point where Kane becomes not necessarily interesting, but at least it's clear what his dramatic purpose is.
Well, that's, also has that's a crush on Rosa.
That's a different thing, though. I mean, right here at the beginning, where ostensibly you're supposed to be still trying to make sure the player doesn't put it down and go back to Mario, is you have to have an interesting character here. Kane isn't interesting this early. He defends you, but he's not that interesting because he's not that different from Cecil.
I always thought he was cool because of his character design when I was a kid.
Yeah, so. I think they're banking a little on that, and a little on Cecil has this moral quandary going on. And it's pretty rote, but if you're like 8, and this is the first time you're seeing it. Like, Final Fantasy X's story is terrible, but that was the first time I was exposed to all these concepts that have defined who I am going forward. And, you know, I can only now look back and go, ha ha, and go, oh my god, why does this girl even like this guy? But when I was first playing it, I was like, yeah, religion, that sucks. I mean, that's the moral of Final Fantasy X, right?
Oh yeah, pretty much, actually. But also, giant monsters who routinely destroy the world, but yeah, that's like a subplot.
Yeah, that's religion, right?
Yes.
It's an allegory. It's the devil. The devil's bad. That's
or
why
God.
The Megazord punched it in the face.
Technically speaking, the devil never blew up the world or flooded it.
Well, yeah.
Just throwing that out there. Were we talking about?
Great Satan and Rita Repulsa summoning.
No. That was awesome.
So you get to this village, and the package is a fire somehow, like magic fire.
It contains
bombs.
Oh, are they supposed to be the bombs?
Yeah, they're like the recurring Final Fantasy enemy bombs.
I don't know how you didn't notice they were in the box you were toting around, or why they didn't explode, or why throw package at enemy wasn't a combat option.
Magic. Well, I mean, you didn't know there were bombs in there.
So how did they get at, were they just waiting for you to walk in here and they
apparently,
just opened the box? Did they know?
What's in the box?
Yeah, the package opens automatically and burns down the town.
Step one, cut a hole in the box.
Which coincidentally causes Rydia to have a fear of fire, which she doesn't tell you about until the exact moment it's
to be fair, that makes sense to me. Like, when did it come up before then?
That is true. And also, they did kind of a neat thing with that, where she can't cast fire until that plot point, but she overcomes it in, like, a 30-second interval.
She's Rose like, is like, you should cast fire, right? Yeah. Come on, honey.
I'm like, oh, that actually, okay.
I'm afraid of fire, and Rose is like, we need you to do it, and Cecil's like, dot, 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 and she's like, okay, I'm better now, but I'm still gonna hate you for it.
Yeah, why does Rosa like Cecil? Anyway, we're getting ahead of myself.
Because
so you
he's
kill
really
everyone
hot?
In the village?
Okay. Under that dark armor? He has awesome hair once he becomes a paladin.
That's true. So, anyway, everyone in the village dies, but this little girl who hates you because you killed everyone in your village. But you swear to protect
her. A village
her.
Of summoners, by the way.
Specifically, she hates you because you killed her mom.
Yeah, she doesn't actually care about the village. She hates you because you killed her mom, summoned dragon.
I feel like that's shorthand, though.
Oh, yeah, probably. But yeah,
entirely possible.
So, Cain disappears in the fire, and you have to protect girl.
No, the girl causes a massive earthquake, which is when Cain disappears.
Yeah.
And then you have the girl.
And then she can't summon Titan again until, like, way late in the game.
And they do another neat thing where she's level 1 and you're level, like, 14 at this point. So she feels like a little kid who can't do anything.
And you can put her in the back row, which is a combat mechanic. They
added the rows, and people in the back row do less damage unless they have bows equipped, which are low accuracy. But they also take less damage in return.
Yep. There are a couple other weapons that ignore, like the harp. The harp ignores range.
And we have proven once again, no matter what they're in, the bards are still useless.
Yeah, he's okay when you get the charm harp, but even then.
Also, enemies in the back row take less damage, which is interesting. It's not really like a game-changing mechanic, but it ensures you wipe out the grunts in front first.
Also, another interesting thing about this game that most JRPGs got rid of, probably because it's too
cumbersome.
Yeah, is ammunition for ranged weapons.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
You need to equip
that.
A bow and arrow. You need to equip a bow in one hand and arrows in the other hand.
Also, there's handedness in this game, so some character you can actually equip a sword or a shield or a bow and an arrow in either hand, but depending on the handedness of your character, actually affects how much damage they do.
Do they tell you which hand they are?
Yeah, it actually says on the character status screen which hand they prefer.
Does it? I didn't think it told you, but they always start with their weapon in their preferred hand.
Yeah,
so it's obvious when the left-handed character
I didn't realize
shows
it
up.
At first, because I had Rydia using a bow and arrow, and then I got Rose in my party, and she uses a bow and arrow, but she had them in different slots. I'm like, well, why? Oh, her damage is a lot higher. Wait, she's right-handed and holding her bow in her left hand. God damn it, have I been doing this wrong? And then her Rydia's attack suddenly increased by 3 because she put her bow in her other hand.
that's actually an interesting mechanic.
I mean, once you figure it out, it becomes completely pointless and you never
It's a pointless mechanic. It is interesting, but kind of pointless.
Which brings me to another gripe I have with this game. Remember Final Fantasy? You went to an equipment shop. You were like, huh, is this armor better for my fighter? Oh yeah, there's a big up arrow. I guess it is.
They got rid of this.
Yeah. The perfectly useful feature. Great. Now you just have to be like, is this, I guess I'll buy one. Nope, that wasn't. Well, I guess I just wasted some money.
And you don't even know whether you own any of them before having the option to buy them, which is...
They do, honest, like, get all excited if they can equip it, but...
They're like, oh my god, a beret! a beret.
I didn't think Rydia started with any equipment, because she's an orphan who just blew up her town, and you were protecting her. So I didn't think she had any gear, so I went and bought her a bow. I never equipped it because I went to equip it, found out it did less damage, so I never actually found out that you need ammunition as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I felt a little dumb.
The damage goes up when you equip the ammo, because you just, like, presumably smack them with a bow if you don't have any arrows.
I didn't think, like, it wasn't... I'm not trying to criticize it for not telling me Rydia had any... didn't have equipment. I assumed she didn't have equipment. That's on me. That's me being stupid. I could have looked, yes.
Although she's a piss-poor attacker, regardless of what she has equipped.
Oh, yeah, she's terrible at it.
That's another problem I have with this game, and that's actually a problem I have with the MP system in general, because it's really ingrained in our, like, video games in general, because you need a metric to say how much energy balls can I throw around.
Hey, remember in Final Fantasy where you had spells per day, and spells had different levels, and you had different numbers of spells per day for each level?
Yep.
Wasn't that an interesting system that didn't turn out to just be, do I have MP? Okay, I'll cast the spell to make the fight faster. Or no, so I guess I just attack.
But that's basically what this is. Unfortunately, like most games with random encounters, the random encounters serve to grind your resources before you get to the boss.
Zach, what were you going to say?
I was just going to point out that Neverwinter Nights 2 uses a similar mechanic to Final Fantasy 1 where you have spells
per day.
Yeah,
that's because it's based on Dungeons & Dragons, though.
Yeah, so lot of things.
Well, yeah.
No, that's the point, though, is that Dungeons & Dragons did that, and that's where they got the idea for the mechanic. And then someone was like, hey, MP, this is totally different, right?
Well, as a counterpoint to that, so is KOTOR.
Yeah.
And KOTOR uses a force point system for its caster.
That's because
not
the D20...
points per day.
Well, that's because the D20 system for force spells is terrible. But
This isn't the RPG podcast. Wait,
no, it's
tabletop RPG podcast.
Ah, man, I had a point to your point. Now I forgot what you said before I made Zach interrupt you.
They did a decent job with placing save points near.
Oh yeah,
the
that's
bosses,
what I was going
but...
to say. Is most of the time the boss has a save point pretty close to it, and you can just use a tent, which they give you liberally, which is a full heal only on a save point though.
It gets worse later in the game. Actually, tents aren't a full heal. They added cabins that are full heals. Tents just heal a lot.
Oh, okay.
Of mana and health, so they're pretty powerful.
Until later in the game when you have like 3,000 health and you need all of it for a boss battle, and a tent only heals like 500, so.
So anyway, yeah, it's just a game of, do I have resource? Use resource. No? Well, I guess I'll be okay.
Although you need to save some of it for the boss battle. Speaking of boss battles, you guys both fought the antlion, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just, this isn't really like a point per se, but did you look at that thing's sprite? It was like a horrible quadrupedal,
it's
like
an ankeg.
That sprite was awful. I wasn't sure what it was supposed to be.
It has huge humanoid eyes on the front. Oh god, it's so weird. I just...
So actually, before that though, I wanted to talk about the signposting in this game. Because after you find Rydia and she earthquakes, you end up in the desert. And you have to find this oasis town, which is super easy to miss in my opinion.
I found it.
I
really
walked
easy.
Straight to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then you have to go to a specific house in this town where, hey, your girlfriend is sick and knocked out for some reason, so that you can then go to a cave. If you go to the cave beforehand, or just you go to the town but don't go to this one house, there's this old man who's like, you can't be in this cave, youngsters. It's not time for the plot to advance yet. Do you have a sick girlfriend in town? Wait, no, I don't know that. And this game just has a lot of signposting issues. It's actually okay after that for a while, but there are lots of places on the overworld map that don't look like you can enter them, but you can. Like, they're just forests
or,
like,
mountain passes. Before. Signposting.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense, but...
Yeah, it's telling the player where to go.
Well,
I don't think this game does a very good job of
that. I feel like if this game was actually run by an actual person, this would be a huge... It's a railroad plot. I mean, it kind of has to be because it has to shove you in a direction because it's a video game, but...
But it's a railroad plot that doesn't tell you where the railroad is going.
It doesn't tell you where the tracks are.
Yeah. And it's like, oh yeah, you need to talk to this NPC who's in this town. Oh, also, but we didn't tell you he's there, and there's no reason you would think he's there. And even though you have to go to this town and talk to everybody, they don't tell you that he's there and you might want to talk to him.
Yeah, the only like things that people in town tell you about this is they say... The cave for this place is on the north, or is in the east.
Which is relevant information.
It is relevant information, but you find out about this, and so if you're like me, you assume, oh,
everyone's
I have to go to this cave.
Yeah, that's a logical assumption,
honestly. I went to this cave. There was no one who said, there's a sick girlfriend in this house. Because it's also an easy house to miss, because it's in the top right of the town.
It is also the largest house in the town, to be fair.
Compared to... The inn, which is smack dab in the center, and the fighter college thing, which is the other really big building in the town.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't think it's super obvious, because like you said, it's in a corner. And another problem with this game, you can't walk through NPCs, and there are lots of one-character-wide pathways.
Although the NPCs try to hustle out of your way if you like try to walk
they
into
usually
them,
fail, in my opinion.
I know, it's hilarious.
I stood there like for 2 or 3 minutes watching an old lady in the inn, trying, because I was like, she has to get out of the way eventually, because I didn't realize I could move her or try and move them. But I'm like, she has to. Oh, she's still just pacing. Okay, I'm going to try and push my way through. And I never went back to that shop again.
Well, there's, like, in every town, there's a person who dances for you in an unskippable dance.
Yeah. Yay. TNA. On the Super Nintendo. So,
except one of them turns out to be a male monk in disguise, so...
So, then we can keep going blow for blow, but I think that's the intro, and that's what I really wanted to get over. More generally, because there are so many characters that sort of interact with the story, you're constantly losing and gaining characters in your party, which is interesting from a story perspective, but it's really dissatisfying from an advancement perspective, because you never know what characters are going to stick around. And again, going back to Final Fantasy... The way you advanced, you did level up, but the main thing was your gold. You needed to buy new spells if you wanted to learn them, and new equipment. In this game, you're just given stuff when you level up. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know what it's going to do. You get so many spells. Like, there's a point where Tella just remembers all his spells and has pages of them, and you don't really...
Yeah, there's no description on any of them. You don't... Well, there's, like, a description on some of them, but not the ones you really need. Like, what does Sight do? I mean, it
What does sight do?
When you're on the overworld, it zooms out so you can see more of where you're trying to go, which is really useful, but because you don't have a world map. But
and then warp sends you to the beginning of a dungeon.
No, warp sends you to the beginning or the last staircase you entered and like remembers a breadcrumb. Teleport takes you out of the dungeon.
Okay. But even like venom. I mean, I can kind of guess what that does.
Is that poison?
Yeah. I assume so, but I never got it to work on anything.
I tried it on the antlion. It didn't work. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm just going to go back to throwing fireball.
And what does Edward's sing command do? A random status effect, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's actually dependent on the enemy because I always got the same status effect on the same enemy.
I used Sing on the Antlion and it didn't do anything.
And I mean, but his harps already do status effects.
Yep.
So.
Super
and
status.
Damage.
Coincidentally, in the Antlion fight, I found out that it was cheaper for Righty to heal rather than cast ice, and Cecil did more damage per turn. So I had Cecil attack, soak counter, and then Righty just heal them because it was overall more efficient. Which is what this game does to me, is try to make me find the most efficient way for someone to get punched in the face.
Yeah, well. So my point, though, is the point of a level system is to make a player feel stronger as he's progressing. This game doesn't really have that because... A, it's not a very good level system. It's just you get stuff when you level up. Yay, I guess.
And when characters join your party, they're a set level when they join your party.
Yeah.
They will be that level regardless of how much leveling you've done, regardless of what level they were before they left.
So they can come back weaker.
I think so, yes.
Yes, although typically you would have to do a lot of pointless grinding for that.
Yeah. But
the few times I had characters come back, it's hard for me to imagine getting to that point, but it is possible.
There's a point in the game, though, where you... I was like level 30 or something, and Tella rejoins your party, and he's like level 20, but regardless how much leveling you've done, I think that's just because I went and did a bunch of side quests, but...
Also, because there are so many characters, you kind of stop caring. Like, the twins were a cool idea, and they had a cool ability where, you know, they could team up to cast magic together and get a super powerful spell, but then they just exit the story.
Yeah, they sacrifice themselves for really
and, like,
no real
Edward
reason.
Edward just passes out, and then you find him, and I guess he's sick? And, like, that's
just
not...
randomly?
Well, like it seemed like it was sort of being foreshadowed to me, but no one brought it up. And like you find him in this castle. No one, like I said, no one tells you he's in this castle. He's in like this left wing that you don't have to go to. You have to talk to the people in the castle because like, Earth Crystal, it got stolen. You need to go north and get it, and then we'll let you borrow it. But don't give it to the evil dude to get your girlfriend back. That wouldn't be cool. And you need to talk to Edward to beat the Dark Elf. But no one mentions, oh yeah, and there's this prince guy. He's like sick. I wonder what's up with him. Keeps
like
talking about his dead girlfriend.
The crown prince of Damsyan.
To be fair, Damsyan gets blown off the map.
Yeah, but everyone knew about it before it got blown up, and he's the crown prince of a country, and no one thinks
to
mention that.
Like, the first king you go to, like the king of Fable, is like, Prince Edward. I guess these dudes are legit.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, they needed to have more NPCs in the game that told you useful information about what in the game is going on.
I mean, they kind of do, but not really. And I think I'm not sure how much of that is poor translation, because some people just say nonsense, and I'm not sure if that was in the Japanese version, but, I mean, given this game, I could see some people just say nonsense, but...
Comparing this game to Final Fantasy, the gameplay is smoother, but not as fun or engaging, and the story's a lot better, but it's still sort of meandering. I've never played Final Fantasy II/Final Fantasy II, or Final Fantasy III, but I wonder, like, how they compare to this. What did they try before?
I have no idea. I've never played either of them. I can't even find 3 anywhere.
And, like, one criticism of Final Fantasy 3/6 is it has too many characters.
I think that works in its favor,
yeah,
honestly.
They all have distinct arcs going on. They sort of group up into not exactly factions, but, like, these three guys want the same thing, and they have different personalities getting it, and these three guys want the same thing,
yeah,
and these two guys are brothers, and...
Like, a couple of them kind of form, like, buddy coalitions, so, like, they have a plot together,
yeah.
Which, as opposed to, like, just random Kung Fu master you find on the mountain who you run to a castle with. I mean...
And in Final Fantasy VI, spoilers, typically when the party splits, okay, so you go with Matt and you do what he's doing for a while, and then you go over with Terra and she's doing stuff, and then you cut over to...
Sabin,
and then they all meet together and they punch Kefka in the face.
So they're more of characters that feel like naturally coming together as characters rather in this game, whereas a lot of the characters feel more along the lines of, hey, you've got the glowing PC above your head. You must be coming with me for a while.
It's honestly not like that so much as it's sort of like realistic. Like, yeah, this guy would go with you to a town, and then that's where he was going, so he would stop being with you. It's more that they make sense, like, from a logic standpoint, but not a dramatic standpoint.
Exactly. It makes sense for these characters to be leaving or have a rotating door of characters like this game has, but it...
Except for the part where, like, two of them just fall off the ship, and one passes out, and one gets kidnapped.
What? Damn it. But it isn't very, like Jeremy said, it isn't satisfying. Although, I would say that the combat is no worse than the original Final Fantasy in terms of interestingness,
like the...
but...
I think it is. Like, it's hard to say, because Final Fantasy process is so slow that it's basically unplayable. But I want to play it. Maybe it's just because I can't. But I think it's more like the choices feel more like choices. Yeah. If I cast Fire 1, I'm not wasting the resource I need to cast Fire 3 when the big bad shows up.
That is true.
Yeah, I found myself a lot of times just using basic attacks with casters so I didn't burn my mana when I didn't want to.
Well, all my casters also had bows, so in order to conserve ammo, I often just had them not attack. Although Rosa, when you get her, she has an aim ability, which does like 3x damage with a bow and is pretty likely to hit, which is nice, but...
See, and I found mana restore points to be plentiful enough that I just always cast spells and sort of grumbled if I was out of mana because combat was taking twice as long and it was twice as boring.
I definitely use my MP more liberally this run, but in previous runs I did not, and I think there's no reason not to. Right, that was confusing, since I think there's no reason not to liberally cast spells. I think you're right in that there are MP restore points often enough, it just feels like you shouldn't.
Once I had Tella, I was like, okay, screw it, I'm just gonna burn this mana, because I've been replenishing
it pretty
often. I do
love Tella's sprite, too.
And Tella has Psyche, which lets him absorb MP from people.
I never got to absorb more than one point at a time.
I found it depended on the enemies. A lot would give me, like, I feel like it was either 40, 2, or 1, depending on the enemy.
The midget mages only give you 1 for
whatever
reason.
For some reason, like, mages tend to give you not much, and, like, big monsters give you a lot.
But it works the opposite when things cast Psyche on you. The casters get more taken from them than, well, the people who have no MP at all. So
I think the one time somebody cast Psyche on me, they cast it on Cecil.
And he's like, I'm already an idiot.
I'm not a paladin yet. I don't have MP yet.
I know I kind of mentioned it. Can I just mention how awesome Cecil's hair is as a paladin? It's amazing. It's like this long blonde hair with like purple streaks in it for no reason.
It's interesting that he actually does change character class.
Yeah. And he changes sprite, and it's very dramatic, and yeah, so God, like, seems to be involved in it. And it's actually this cool scene where you go back to Wizard Town, and they all hate you and turn you into a poisoned frog because you're an asshole. So you go on this quest to Mount Paladin to become a paladin.
And
you're like, what's a paladin?
And two kids come with you for no apparent reason.
They're spying on you.
Oh, yeah, that's the reason. I didn't quite get that far this playthrough. But they go with you and to see whether or not your intentions are pure, and then you fight your Dark Knight self and become a paladin. I forget how to win that fight. I feel like it's not attack.
You can legit win, or, like, after, like, 5 rounds, he just disappears.
You're like, I guess I luked it.
And going back to Final Fantasy X, what I like so much about that game is every party member has a role in combat. Riku does machines.
Waka does flying stuff.
Yeah, Waka kills flying stuff. Lulu kills elementals.
Auron kills armored beasts.
Yeah.
Tidus kills fast things.
Kamari can do whatever you want him to do.
Yeah, Kamari sucks.
Yuna heals. Yeah. Or summons the Aeon to fight the big thing. Whereas this game sort of feels like they wanted to have that because your party isn't regular. And because they don't have enough interesting stuff going on, it doesn't quite work. Like, Cecil, when he becomes a paladin, for example, has a guard ability where he can take damage for one of the other party members, which is cool, but even though he has a lot of HP, because the casters are usually in the back already and take less damage, it usually just means Cecil needs twice as much healing, so you have to have a guy on heal Cecil duty.
They did that a lot better in Final Fantasy VI, although the guard ability in that is actually just you get to choose who gets it. So
just hook Cecil up to a IV of cure potions.
Got you some happy juice here, and just gonna pump
just wheel it around behind him.
Although you get an airship eventually, that makes traveling around the world map interesting.
And you get vehicles. We forgot to talk about vehicles. You get like chocobos and hovercrafts and an airship, and they're kind of interesting. They make it so you don't have to do random encounters, and they break things up a little. But they're
also,
the airship does make you feel free.
Yeah, which helps. I think that's one of the.
But then you have to land on the one pixel.
Yeah, I do think the airship is the one awesome thing about Final Fantasy games, and I'm sad that it's not in all of them. But, oh man, also you go to the moon. You get a spaceship and go to the moon. Just because reasons. Because the big bad is from the moon, somehow.
For some reason.
That's where all the monsters come from. Just like in Japanese mythology.
All right, you're the one who's played this before and beaten it. What are your final thoughts on this game, having gone back to it?
It's not nearly as good as I remember. I may still finish it, but I'm just, man, these characters are not very strong, and the dialogue's just weak, and I don't know. I'm not really I don't think I'm nearly as turned off by the combat as you are, but...
See, I agree with what you're saying. The characters aren't great. But to me, it really did feel... Like Zach has said, if you're going to make a game like this, just write a book. And I've always criticized that opinion. But with this game, the combat just seems like it's the thing in your way to get to the next story point. It doesn't feel very well balanced to me. There hasn't been a boss fight where I needed a strategy other than mages cast spells, fighters hit them with their weapons. The combat has never been engaging. Like... In Final Fantasy, again, you had undead, and the cleric could get the harm spell, which instantly killed all enemy undead. And so there's this, if you had a cleric, suddenly there was this big trade-off in this advantage to having them.
That's not even combat necessarily, that's allocation of resources.
Well, yes, it is, but interesting choices that make a game. What are the interesting choices you make in Final Fantasy II?
Which armor do I wear?
No, you are the best one.
Yeah, there's
you
no really
can't tell which one's the best one.
You can after you equip it and find out that your armor stat just went down.
Which order do I do the side quests in? I agree, there isn't really a whole lot of choice.
When your combat system in a game like this, where there is a lot of combat, boils down to wail on the enemies until they die,
yeah.
Usually you have a problem.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, almost all the early Final Fantasies have this problem.
Well, I remember
think a lot
six...
of early RPGs have this problem.
Final Fantasy, I thought, was better about it because you get the allocation of resources. Because you choose classes and you choose where am I spending my money on which character.
I'd like to see a game do that. Another game do that.
Dragon Warrior 3 did that. It was pretty good, but it's not super common now.
A more
because,
modern game do that, I should say.
Well, it takes a lot of work, and then people are going to not see content that people made, and content is expensive these days, so it's a bad reason for a lot.
Hey, indie guys
reasons.
Do that.
Although
I'll early access that.
I was going to say, Knights of Pen and Paper has that, but Knights of Pen and Paper is not a super engaging video game, in my opinion.
So, what's everyone else's final thoughts
yeah,
on the
Zach,
game?
What are your final thoughts? I feel that mine aren't, you know, play any other Final Fantasy game.
It's not the
I
worst game
better.
I've ever played, but I'm also not a big fan of these kind of games in the first place. I'd skip it.
It is easily the worst Super Nintendo RPG I've played, and easily the worst Final Fantasy game I've played.
If you're a big Final Fantasy fan, you may be interested in it just by virtue of the branding it's got on the front of it, but...
For the same price, get 6.
Combat's yeah, kind of boring. The story is hard to follow. I may play with it a little more. I doubt it, but I might, just because it's a long game. And if I get bored with something else, I might end up with it. But yeah, it's just... Combat's boring. The characters aren't as engaging. If I wanted to play a long game that had characters kind of like this, I'd probably just go back to Agorist.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could just play Agorist. You can play Disgaea. It's a good game, guys.
Yeah, you keep telling us that. I haven't tried it.
I think Jeremy still has my copy of it.
I think I do. So, anyway, Zach, what are we going to play next week?
Engaging games, right?
Yes, we're going to play some super engaging games. I have a kind of a busy schedule this week, so we're going to go a little lighter. We're actually going to go farther back than we have before. We're going to play a combination of Pac-Man and Dig Dug.
Because one of those games is not nearly engaging enough for a podcast. Two of those games probably isn't sufficient for a podcast.
Guys, bring second way. Topics. And somebody please send us some mail so we have something to talk
yes,
about
go back
next
in
week.
Time and send us a mail. Did you like Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon Crystal? Do you think the eyes are just fine? Tell us.
Do you think it's all right that they take up
90%
of the
Give us something to
face?
Talk about.
You agree that the CGI transformation scene is bull, right? Because it is.
The question I think everyone's asking is whether Pretty Warrior... Internet Explorer-chan is better than this reboot.
I'd forgotten about that.
Okay, so next time on Last Time, Paka Paka Paka, and I don't know any Dig Dug jokes. I can
Digging?
Dig it. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owner.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg at lasttimeonvideogames.com or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com
and the best one, Zach, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcasts.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus last time on video games.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over.